Do like a Beach Boys style chord progression this time. Okay, ready?
What?
That ready? Went way over my head.
Ready? We're okay. Gonna just you'll get it. Hello and welcome to That was less.
We kind of fell apart of the third one there, but
that was the THX sound.
The end was less Beach Boys and more Gregorian Monks.
That's fine.
Than I would have planned, but I still liked it.
I think the boys have cited Gregorian Monks as their biggest influence. I just wanted to pay an homage.
The boys,
to that. Yeah.
You call them the boys.
Yeah.
Welcome.
You're
to
on a last name basis with the Beach Boys.
Yes. Mr. Boys.
Mr. Boys.
I call them the beaches. So.
Whoa. But you're a little bit more casual with them.
Yeah. Welcome, everybody, to From Under a Rock, the podcast where we watch movies that one or more of us have not seen by now, that they should have seen, bringing them out from under the proverbial rock. Rock. Rock.
Rock.
Rock.
I want to rock.
Rock.
All right, we can't sing anymore. We have to pay for it.
I'm Ryan.
I'm James.
I'm Steven.
I'm Mike. Mike Bourbon.
Mike Bourbon, attorney at law.
And her good friend Sasha Snow is still looking for something that she misplaced, I guess.
You're actually mispronouncing it. It's actually Mike Birdman.
Birdman.
What, Birdman. Oh,
sorry.
Those?
Mike Birdman,
no?
Attorney at law.
Not those sunglasses?
Attorney by day, secret agent by night. Mike Bourbon.
Alcoholic by always.
100%
alcoholic.
You
can't have a name like Mike Bourbon and not be an alcoholic.
Yeah.
Yeah, guys, I don't drink. What is that YouTube channel where the guy does honest movie trailers?
Oh, yeah.
It's just honest movie trailers.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. It's literally just honest movie trailers.
I was
trailers.
Trying to think of it.
Yeah. Say, do you think, I want my baby
do
back.
Do you think I have a voice for an honest movie trailer?
No.
I don't know.
No, not really.
Okay, I'm sorry.
That guy does a good Optimus Prime, too.
Autobots.
Assemble.
I like to really accentuate the
role. That was after Optimus did the shrooms.
Yeah.
One time.
Autobots, holy shit.
And then he kept saying it every 5 minutes.
Are my hands wheels?
Everybody got
Bumblebee
really
realized he could talk, and then...
James, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing okay. Not too much is going on. Just trying to continue on with that YouTube shit.
I watched the first 40 seconds of episode 2,
and
it was
you were
actually,
like,
no, it was actually really good. And then my internet cut out, and I couldn't finish.
Your internet was like, no, you don't want to watch this.
Yeah,
no.
Your internet cut out, and you couldn't finish. All right,
because I was masturbating.
Because
that
course
you were.
At work. That's why the internet cut out
in this third world country of America, where internet cuts out like on a dime, you know.
At my place of employment, it does.
Oh, okay.
Time Warner Cable? I thought so.
But I will say, the first 40 seconds of the We're Back episode is actually very good.
Pretty quality stuff. I continuing to be impressed by the style and the comical editing and
you guys
and such.
Coming with it. Keep going.
you look very handsome.
I was unable to finish. There was no coming.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to edit that out. I don't feel good about that one.
You should edit it out, but keep that last part in where you're just like, I don't feel good about that.
Anything else you have to, James?
Not really. Sign up for Central Casting, so I'm calling them, and I have yet to be on a film set, but I'm looking forward to being paid minimum wage to just stand around and pretend to be something.
That's what I hear. You do not even a lot of pretending, I hear. It's mostly just a lot of standing around
like
and being
standing
yourself.
Around,
being nothing.
Pantomiming occasionally, but yeah.
But yeah.
So that's $64 minimum per shoot, guys.
Woo! Wow.
Before taxes.
Oh.
Yeah, but you do get paid overtime.
You got to get
over
some of that overtime. Yeah, that's where the real money is.
It's like, all right, so you can go now. Are you sure? Yeah, I could.
No,
I could stand around for a little longer.
You break things on the set and force them into overtime.
Yeah,
just like knock just cameras over
when nobody's looking. Like yeah. Break a light or two.
I know Jason Lemon, a friend of ours, was on Sci-Fi's. I think it is called Robot Combat League. And he was there for, I think, 18 hours because the robots would like move for like 20 seconds and then break down and then they would just shut the shoot down. Why can't I talk today? Shut the shoot down for like mechanical issues.
Here, let's just call this warm up and start over. Okay, guys, I want to do like a Beach Boys style chord progression.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Robot. Okay, yeah. Robot. Robot.
No, I'm just kidding.
Robot.
Robot.
So I've been happy to... not like happy, but I've been okay with working 6 nights a week for the past month or so.
Because of overtime. Get that,
it is
cool. Overtime money.
Yeah, I'm very happy to get that overtime money. But that's nothing compared to some of our clients that are coming in the office. Because I work at a company that edits TV shows, and it's like in the middle of pilot season right now.
You got to rub it in, don't you?
It's not like I do anything important there.
You gotta don't let them hear that.
No, they know it. I don't care.
They later listen to this podcast. Well, he's absolutely right.
I will say I'm very happy doing nothing important there. But,
So James is excited to sign up for a service where he gets to pretend to do nothing important. You're living the dream.
Mm-hmm. Just living the dream.
No, but
his is slightly more consistent.
We have our clients coming in and dropping off their footage, coming in from doing 36 hour shifts sometimes.
Dropping their proverbial kids off at the pool.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And
what does that mean?
It's a euphemism for pooping.
Yeah, they come over to use our restroom.
Yeah.
I'm actually a janitor is what I'm saying. I'm actually
just living the dream.
No, I'm the guy who stands in the restroom with the mints.
You're the bathroom attendant.
That's like the most awkward thing.
Bathroom attendant, that's what it is. Yeah. Thank you. I need to.
It's like I don't have any cash, and you kind of just see the light leave their eyes.
The wrong thing on my business cards
and your LinkedIn.
Yes. So anyway, so to top things off, this past week, I was working on a Friday night, and usually Friday night's not really that busy. They just kind of need someone there. Just in case, you know, but this week was not so. It was crazy busy for several hours straight. Just people constantly bringing stuff in from 36 hour shifts of shooting. Like I said,
dropping
the kids off. We already did that. Yeah. Euphemism for pooping. I work as a bathroom attendant, etc., etc. We're good. LinkedIn, business cards. Okay.
Jokes. Can we do this all over one more time?
So yeah, okay. So we're going to go with the Beach Boys progression, right?
Guess.
So to make matters worse, they had shut down our logging system for the night for maintenance. And so I was doing everything manually. And this guy comes in and he's just tired as hell, of course, and impatient. And I'm doing my best to get everything entered manually. And he's just getting more and more pissed off as I'm, you know, just like, oh, I'm sorry, sir, trying to...
Was there yelling?
...placate him. No, he didn't quite yell.
Just passive aggressive?
I think I kind of read it on his face, like he said something kind of mean, but then I think he realized it immediately after, and he was just like, oh, okay, I can't take it out on this poor guy. This poor unimportant guy.
And he knew your financial situation. No, he just went to poor. He was like, this guy, he's not rich. He can't be rich.
I mean... Anyone who looks at me knows that instantly. So
yeah,
it's pretty easy to tell.
Maybe it's that Tiny Tim attire you have on. You know, you look like you're about to sweep a chimney.
You don't even need the crutch practically. I don't know why you carry it.
Michael, have you been?
I've been all right. My job is cutting hours, so I may be down to 2 or 3 hours a week. Or sorry,
wow.
2 to 3 shifts a week. But
$900 an hour.
Yeah, but there's also talk that they may end up cutting a person, which would be me because I'm the most junior person there. So we'll find out about that, James. I may be going with you to lots of set shoots. That's what they call them.
That almost sounded like sex shoots.
That's they what need he thinks it is.
They need stand-ins for porn, too.
Your secret's
sure.
safe with me. So, yeah, we'll see how that plays out. I know that there's one superior that is fighting on my team and one superior that's on the other team. So we'll see who wins.
Dang. Well,
sounds like political almost.
It is. Well, and the one who's fighting against me, I don't want to say it's me or him, but apparently he may be on the chopping block as well.
You got to be a lobbyist, like literally in the lobby.
Yeah, I'm in the lobby.
I'm picturing you doing like a House of Cards style thing where you're like narrating your struggle to stay higher.
Yep.
You're like, I will get in good with the, I can't even do a Southern accent. I'm so ashamed.
You're from Texas.
Texas isn't the South.
Yes,
though.
It is.
He's more like a,
it is the southernmost
like
state
south,
we have.
Like Alabama sort of accent.
I must get in good with my superiors.
Huh, my superiors, I said. That's a foghorn layer.
Whoa, man. Offensive much.
Oh, man, every week now I'm just saying something super offensive.
You're just like putting on an old plane drifter accent.
Michael.
What? Wow.
Hey, at least it wasn't me this time.
We know that it's just how I
do
was raised.
Do we have to do this every time?
It's not racism, it's ignorance.
Yeah, the PR department is really getting on our ass about that. We need to stop.
It's not racism if you are one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's perfect. I am a racism. James, how are you this week?
We already did that. I'm the only one
left.
I'm the only one left.
Steuben, how are you this week?
I'm good.
I would rather hear about James's week twice, actually.
So I'm still doing YouTube stuff, and
oh my,
it's really good.
Dude,
that was so good.
You look so handsome in that We're Back video.
Dude, so I watched the first 40 seconds of your second episode before my internet cut out, and I was actually really impressed.
Thank you,
Steven. How was your week?
It's actually been really good. A lot of progress with the physical therapy. Found an amazing bowling place that I want all of us to go to. And it's part bowling, part karaoke, part arcade, part bar, part restaurant. The bar and the restaurant are not the same thing. There's the bar next to the restaurant. The drinks are cheaper at the bar than the restaurant, so don't get your drinks at the restaurant.
You were talking about this place.
It's really cool.
Yeah,
we need to go.
What's it called?
All Star Lanes. And I went there with a, I had my hand messed up, so I could only bowl with my left hand, and it was pitiful. Oh my
gosh.
Wait,
you didn't have the you didn't have
bumpers?
Little,
no,
yeah.
I wasn't going to put on the bumpers.
I put on bumpers when I'm like 100%.
I call that training wheels for bowling, actually.
Yeah.
You didn't do the training wheels?
The option was there, but I was like with everyone at work, I'm like, I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to go out with as much pride as I can.
You need to do the toddler thing because it always actually seems to work. Just, you know, you're just going to kind of, it'll get there eventually.
Yeah,
you know?
Just, ding, ding,
just throw your
off.
Little kangaroo scrotum.
I mean, that's one way to look at it.
That's the one method.
No, the only way I look at it.
There was like five or six times where I just missed the pins completely. And you know how you get like two rolls per bowl or whatever? Just miss them completely. But then I'd feel better because I looked to the left and there was this girl who was like had use of both her hands and she was missing them just as much as me. I was like, okay.
Yeah, but she had no legs, so that's an unfair comparison.
Didn't really get that running
start. How are you going to generate momentum in a wheelchair?
Speaking of wheelchairs, what did we watch this week?
I picked out Gattaca since I figured none of you guys had seen it.
And you were correct.
It is kind of an obscure 1997 film, but it does have a lot of relatively big names in it, such as Jude Law, the aforementioned wheelchair-bound character. Named Jerome something.
Oh, crap. We just watched it.
I don't know, right?
Jerome
Wallace.
Ethan Hawke.
I want to say W. Jerome Ethan Hawke.
Yeah.
Gattaca is a film about the not-too-distant future, as the title card says
yet
at the beginning.
Also the somewhat, like, 40 years ago past, if you're looking at what they're driving.
It's
a weird
blend.
Stylistic mix that almost kind of reminds me of like Bioshock a little bit.
Yeah. There's all these 40s and 50s refrigerators and cars populating this space and hairstyles and suits. Everybody's dressed up really, you know, in that era.
Basically,
it's the future.
They're in a future where like retro is like really in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what'd you guys think?
I liked it a lot.
I really enjoyed it.
It was really good, yeah. It's I just really love, like we were talking about, the world that it sets up with the yes, thank you for that high five. With the 50s future, it's kind of fitting because it's a movie about, you know, going to space, and back in the 50s, you know, space was this newly attainable place that we could go to. So it really meshed well with the theme. For a little bit there at the beginning, I thought this would be weird, but you know, it works well. It shows it's this really clean set design, production design, and there's a lot of coloring. You know, there's some flashbacks that look almost not black and white, but like what's the other version of black and white? Sepia, almost sepia. And it just really worked well with the mood, because this isn't a really fast-paced science fiction movie. It's kind of actually a little slow, but it works, I thought.
Yeah.
And the name, actually, the full name is Jerome Eugene Morrow.
Morrow.
Much better than Tom.
How much better?
Vastly better than if he had been named Tom.
Where did Tom come from?
Tom Morrow.
Boom. Fist bump.
I gotcha. Okay.
Yeah! Puns.
I was really hoping someone would go for that. I didn't want to be the one.
Sorry, I didn't catch that sooner. That was, it's a little embarrassing.
Also, Tony Shalhoub is just listed as German.
Nah.
Dr.
As,
German.
As his name? Oh, okay. As his character's name?
Well, maybe
no,
he doesn't.
It just says German, but
no, maybe
I
his character
guess
doesn't
want to
be known. He's the guy. He's
well,
the,
he
the shady guy.
Known,
you know? Yeah. He's like, hey, you don't.
He's providing an illegal service.
I was actually very excited when I saw that Tony Shalhoub was in it. I mean, even for a little bit.
Even just for the scene, yeah. I was excited when I saw Ken Marino was, even though you just saw his reflection for 2 seconds.
I actually was telling you about this earlier, Ryan. I was watching the other day a film music concert on YouTube because I am a nerd, and Gattaca actually came up in one of the. It was like the concert was called Hollywood in Vienna, and one of the pieces was from the movie Gattaca, and this was before I had even seen it, so it made me even more excited. And now I want to go back and watch that again, because now I kind of have more of an image to go along with the score.
I absolutely loved the score for this movie. I thought it was fantastic. It was really fit the sort of neo-noir style that the film was shot in, and it also, in a lot of cases, reminded me of kind of an old silent movie soundtrack.
A lot of strings.
It's very classical, very stringy, yeah. And
Michael Nyman, the producer, or Nyman.
Now you're just making up words.
Schlaven.
Producer or the...
Composer.
Composer, yeah. What else has he done?
Oh, you know who produced this? Danny DeVito.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. I was
he didn't have a cameo in that. I would have... If I was Danny DeVito, I'd But I guess he wouldn't exist in this world, though. He's so
he could be
so
one of the cleaning guys.
Yeah, he's actually, I would love that if he was one of the cleaning guys.
Probably just one of those kind of passion project kind of things where he wants to put his name on it and help it along a little bit.
Yeah.
Another actress that we would all know now that was in this movie that I saw her name when I looked it up on Wikipedia, and I don't even remember seeing her, but Maya Rudolph.
Oh, who was she in?
She was, she delivered the baby at like the beginning of the movie.
Oh, huh.
Yeah.
Very cool.
What else has she been in?
Saturday Night Live.
Oh. Yeah.
So. Also, Away We Go with John Krasinski. Did any of you guys
see
that?
Never saw it, but I heard good things.
It was surprisingly great. Yeah, I love that movie. So yeah, I kind of, you know, you guys touched on the, sort of old-fashioned future, and I said it to me it kind of looks like a noir piece, as Stephen was saying, with the sepia tones and everything. I thought it was excellently shot in these styles. I thought the set design and cinematography complemented each other extremely well.
Everything, all of that really like marries together well in the ending. Like I was really consciously looking at like, look at what they're doing with these curved lines and these lights, and I'm starting to see some greens that you don't see too much of, but the ending is just, it kind of, it cross cuts between the real or Vincent and then Jerome and the real Jerome back in the, in his wheelchair, back in his home. And it's like, there's these moments where he goes into, I guess this, you know, super shower. I don't know what you would call that room, but it's a shower where Vincent
super shower
activate
the most intense shower you will ever experience.
It literally,
you gonna be so clean.
Warning: not responsible for any flame related deaths.
But he essentially kills himself in the shower, but he hits the button that activates the flames, which is meant to clean all the dead skin cells and stuff that Vincent, you know, rubs off of his body. But he's in there, and as he hits the button, it cuts to the ignition of the rocket fuel, and I just loved that moment.
The power of montage.
I was actually wondering when he started climbing in. I was like, "Are they going to do that? Are they going to do that?"
Oh, I could tell they could not do that. They were totally doing that.
You were predicting the montage, actually.
Well, I was predicting at least, like, I saw how they started the build of the cross cutting, and I was like, they can't not do the rocket thrusters fire thing.
I thought you were talking about if he was going to kill himself or not, because Michael, you said you were surprised by that a little bit, but I saw it coming from a mile away.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not the most perceptive movie viewer, though.
I didn't catch it until he started actually climbing in, but he seemed a depressed sort of person.
When he said you have enough, when you have enough samples for two lifetimes, that was the nail in the coffin.
But I mean, yeah, I get it. But to me, his arc seemed to be like, you know, he was this guy who tried to kill himself. That's how he got in the wheelchair to begin with.
Right.
And then,
it seemed like he was getting better.
Yeah, because Vincent's whole thing seemed to be that he's a very inspiring, hope-instilling character. And in a weird way, I think that Jerome's suicide was almost him being able to be like, well, in a sick way, killing himself was a dream he had. And because he saw this inspiring guy, he's like, I can achieve my dream of not being alive anymore. So
since I botched it so royally last
year.
Shoot for the stars. If you miss, you'll land on
shoot
Titan.
For the moon.
Land on
and
Titan.
And your friend will die while you're gone. Motivational poster.
Although I gotta say, I would choose a much less painful way to go.
Oh, geez, yeah. In the future, there's got to be some sort of easy injection in this world.
I mean, he's got a science lab.
Yeah.
And, well, he's got alcohol and medication as well.
Oh, jeez. Wow, yeah.
I mean,
he picked the worst way to go.
Yeah, he really did.
Maybe that was on purpose. Maybe he wanted to feel something.
Feel something for once.
Yeah, that's interesting you said that maybe Vincent inspired Jerome to achieve his weird dream. It might redeem him in the movie in a little bit for me, because I thought his motivation for death was a little weak at the end.
If you're looking at it in more of a...
It seemed almost like, well, we got to have a dramatic ending, so...
Yeah, so I think
he'll die while the other guy goes off.
And it's the difference of looking at it of, was he killing himself to escape or killing himself to achieve something he wants?
Yeah, I think that twist on it helps the movie out, because otherwise it really does seem like they're just writing more dramatic.
This is me saying, I don't know if it's really nitpicking, but I wasn't a huge fan of the last swimming race that the brothers had.
Really?
Yeah, but just because they had not seen each other in so long, and it just seemed a little far-fetched that this guy, even if they were brothers, he seemed like so determined in his job let something like that go.
I feel it encapsulated, I mean, literally their entire relationship in the movie while they were together at the beginning was those swimming races.
Yeah.
So it would kind of make sense.
I mean, I know why they did it, but I was just kind of like, I don't know.
Like what you wanted to be like, hey, let's catch up.
I think that it would have been more of a complex problem if he had had to solve it right then and there when he'd been found out. Because, like, if you've got this character who's hellbent on his job, but also needs to turn in his brother, you know.
Well, the way I saw it, he wasn't really looking for the killer.
He was just looking for his brother?
Yeah, he saw the name pop up. And from that point on, he's really just looking for his brother, which is why even after they've solved the case, he goes and finds him. So I don't know if he would have turned him in or not, because it seemed more...
I just think of the awkward awkward conversation on the way to the beach, just like, so...
Well, I see...
How's life been?
Well, I see you're saying there is a conflict there, because will he turn in his brother or not? Because this is a society...
It just seemed like I would have liked to see that happen more if he was... Because he seemed like he was pretty into his job, but when you look at it, when you watch it again and you look at it as him looking for his brother... then it's a different sort of filter.
Maybe I keep mixing Jerome and Vincent because that's what the movie does. Maybe Vincent and beating him on that last swim and rescuing his brother convinced him that there's nothing wrong with him being an invalid and there's no reason to turn him in because the invalid bested him.
Everyone keeps mispronouncing invalid throughout the entire movie.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Well, Degenerates.
I think the moment you see that Anton is sitting down at Vincent's desk, like that's kind of the moment you realize, oh, he's not going to turn him in. Like he obviously knows and he could have gone and turned him in by now, but he just wanted to see him.
But even the things he was saying to him of you're a fraud, it ends here. Like it kind of sounded like he's going to, whether or not he was going to.
Maybe he didn't know. Maybe he was trying to figure that out for himself.
I think more than anything, he was scarred by their last encounter, the last race, and he was supposed to be the perfect son and he never felt like he had anything to prove, and he's just been haunted by that memory ever since, and so maybe that was more important to him than turning his brother in, was
to beat him in the race.
So I thought the
It goes in line with what I consider to be the major theme of the movie of mind over matter.
Yes.
You with the strong mind, you can achieve anything, even if you have physical limitations.
Yeah.
And it presents itself in so many ways in this movie.
And people telling you what you can and can't do.
And even like with Jerome getting up the stairs.
Oh, geez,
stuff like that. Like, I don't know. I thought that was a cool thing to see.
His ascension.
It was maybe one of the best underdog movies I've seen, and it didn't even have a baseball team.
I'm going to give you 2 points for that comment, Michael. I thought the entire final sequence of the movie had so many amazing moments.
Yeah.
The swimming scene itself, whether James thought it was a little unmotivated or not, I thought that scene was incredible, and it's the scene that I remember most from watching it previously, and it was the reason that I picked it for you guys to watch, actually. It was just, I thought that part was so intense, and the quote, something like, I didn't save anything for the trip back.
Yeah,
I loved that.
That's good. And that's the mentality. It's like, this guy is, there's really no determined people in this world, at least the valets aren't. They just expect everything to be served to them.
I think you mean the valids.
Valids. The valids.
Keep your lashes on your lids, pal.
is that like invalids. Slang for let's lash valids? Or invalids?
Yeah, there's something there. Now, you're talking about the ending sequence. I kind of wonder what would happen when Vincent got back to Earth, because it kind of seems like he's starting to inspire people towards the end. I think he might have inspired his brother. He definitely inspires Uma Thurman.
The doctor, perhaps?
The doctor, the whole time. And the doctor was kind of a fan of his, and he's inspired for his son's sake. Mm-hmm. I could almost see a small movement when he comes back saying, look at what this man has done. Society has told him he cannot do this, yet he went to Saturn and back.
It is kind of interesting that it is only a 1-year mission.
Yeah.
And that he will have to come back and live on Earth again when it's all over.
Now, given the proximity of that last swimming scene to the end of the movie, because I think we paused it briefly during that, so I saw how close we were to the end, and I don't know how long credits are for the runtime. For some reason, I was actually expecting his heart to give out on him during that
Yeah,
swim.
I was really actually concerned that ending, was going to happen.
Oh, man, that would have been really sad.
I was like, don't do it.
It would have ruined everything, the movie. It would have disproved his whole philosophy. He's like, no.
But that's ultimately why they couldn't do it, I guess.
But the reason I love this movie is there's two distinct feelings of dread it instills in you and carries throughout the majority of the movie. Like his efforts to outsmart the investigation of not getting caught. He's so close so many times, like that first time where his brother and, is it Alan Arkin's character are, in the room while he's on the treadmill.
Yeah.
That's the first time I'm like just sitting there and I'm like on the edge of my seat, just like, don't get caught. Yeah. Don't get caught.
They did suspense really well.
They did suspense from the investigation standpoint and from the health standpoint, because the entire time I'm expecting
his heart to give out.
Yeah.
So I'm a little confused at what was happening there. So he replaces the monitor on his chest, which he had on Jerome, and he, you know, Jerome got his heart going for 20 minutes and he sat there and he's listening with headphones. Then it cuts to the next. So I'm thinking, okay, is he going to try to like match his heartbeat to Jerome so it all matches the records? But then he puts on another monitor. So I'm thinking, okay, well, maybe that's just a recording of his heartbeat.
I think that's what I thought it was.
So then in that case,
the recording ran out.
That might have been
the case. Okay, so the recording ran out. And then
he said, how long do you need? About 20 minutes worth.
And then. So it ran out after 20 minutes.
And then it took
minutes.
Longer because the people came in. And then it went to his heartbeat,
which is just. I was pumping.
Yeah.
There's one part I was actually surprised he didn't get caught at, because it just seems like the investigators would have done this. But when him and Uma Thurman are running down the alleyway and they kind of duck into this one little corner, it kind of dissolves and it's the next scene. And I was like, oh, okay. I would have expected them to find them.
I had the same thought.
Yeah. Because it's just like, so jaunt away and they're there. So. I guess that was another nitpicky part about it. But, I mean, like, aside from that, I really did enjoy the movie. And I agree with you, Michael. I think that it captures suspense in a lot of great ways.
Yeah.
Like, especially towards the latter half.
Yeah, about, like, 30, 35 minutes in all the way to the end, I just felt varying levels of suspense the entire time.
And it builds really well.
You said out loud a couple of times, I just want him to get to space.
Yeah.
It was giving me anxiety. You're just... I want success for this character.
The movie successfully draws you in and makes you invest yourself emotionally. It's pretty intense.
You know what's interesting about this movie is he's going to space the whole time, and then it's his launch day, and I'm thinking, oh, he's got to suit up and get into that big. No, he just walks in his literal business attire.
Suits up in his normal suit.
It's future
and
space
just,
travel.
Yeah, just sits in there, and I mean, like,
off to work.
Off to work. Yeah. Like, what is he going to do up there? Just like crunch more numbers up on Titan. Yeah.
They have to have Sudoku by then.
We need space accountants.
Oh, this is my dream. I've always wanted to be an accountant in space.
I really, really enjoy Ethan Hawke's performance, especially him and Jude Law. Both do a fantastic job. Ethan Hawke does a lot of really subtle, great subtle things facially. Just another thing that really sticks out for me is the scene at the very end whenever the doctor brings him in for the last pee check that he wasn't expecting. And he's not like overtly upset or angry or anything. He just has like this little smirk and just kind of, he knows he's done for, and he's resigned to his fate, and all of this, you know, he all the hope drains out of him, but he still has this like really fake smile plastered on, and it's all conveyed so subtly. I love that one scene for in his performance specifically.
It's kind of stupid on his character. It's a great scene. It's kind of stupid on his character's part, because like just the scene before, the real Jerome's like, here you go, oh, I'm not gonna need this.
He would have had to get rid of the pee bag eventually.
Yeah.
Like on the spaceship, it's like, why do you have a pee bag? And it's like, oh, you know, just come prepared.
there's no gravity in space, right? You just, I don't know, he'd make something up.
I also think it's kind of creepy, though, if you really think about it, that the only two real things you hear from that doctor character are, you have a really good looking penis, and.
I wish I had that one.
And my son's a great big fan of yours.
He comes home every night and he's just like, son, I got to tell you about this guy's
dick. You need to see this. It is so good.
That's a question I have. So, like, the doctor sees the penis when he's peeing.
You get a prosthetic.
You think it was a prosthetic?
It must be. That's the only way. Otherwise, he'd
clearly see it too. I was watching Blue Mountain State.
I haven't seen it.
You've seen Blue Mountain State?
No,
I haven't. You're the first one. Really?
Yeah.
Oh. I thought you were the one who showed it to me. No. Well, there's this whole episode where they have to take drug tests, and they they try to get these fake penises because like all of them have taken very hard drugs within the past like 5 days. And so that's the first thing I thought of was like, oh, he must have a fake penis. I was like, either that or it's like funneling through his leg and it's all gross or something. I don't know.
No. I forget where I saw it. It may have been a movie. It may have been a TV show. But yeah, I mean, that's commonplace amongst people who are like in a very professional or like con man kind way trying to pass P tests where they have a prosthetic where it filters out and looks real.
So there's some imagery at the end I wanted to talk about, and it just keeps going back the more I think about it. And I'm wondering if you guys caught on it, and Ryan, if you know the movie better, if I'm getting the right interpretation here, because it doesn't quite add up. So at the end of the movie, Vincent is off ascending into the clouds, and Jerome is in a pit of fire. Is there a heaven-hell imagery going on there?
I could see something like that.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. It's
there's not as much as Cool Hand Luke, but there's still plenty of religious iconography throughout, just starting with his mother at the beginning, and how he's a faith child is what
faith child, God child, something God like child. That.
That's an interesting twist on it, actually, because if you want to get into your biblical metaphors, you have Jesus, which is like the perfect child because he's like the son of God. If there was a genetically engineered thing, that would be it, and then the savior in this movie is the one flawed guy.
Mm-hmm. I also find it interesting, if you think about it, I would argue that Anton is, he doesn't really come across as something special after the beginning. Like as a detective or investigator or whatever, he
blends in.
He blends in. And I find it interesting that the dad at the beginning didn't deem Vincent worthy of his own name.
Yeah.
And gives him a unique one, and yet it's the unique one that ends up standing out, and the one that kind of, you know, he takes his dad's name, he's just another thing, kind of just blends in, like,
That his dad actually blessed him by giving him a different name, you know?
Yeah. Hmm.
Well, I was thinking that this whole time, the whole movie, I was like, okay, what would it be like if you actually lived in this world? So I'm like, just imagine the dating pool. Everyone would look more or less the same.
Well, I was making that joke in earlier where Uma Thurman was like, here, if you're still interested, she takes a hair sample. I was like, is that how it's done in the future? It's just like, hey, I want to grab a cup of coffee. Could we like exchange blood samples or something? I'd love to get to know you.
Hey, we both have heart issues. I don't know if we should have kids. That seems like
it's like I never really wanted him, so you know, it works out for me.
Let's talk about the doctor who goes, so you want your child to have no diseases? Healthy lungs, fair skin, gives him a look.
The way he even said it was like, fair skin. Did you want to go maybe darker?
Joke is he's a black guy.
He wasn't too happy. And there was one Asian guy in the whole movie, too.
At the very, very, the very end.
Yeah, what's that guy's story? How did he get on the rocket there?
I do want to say that, like, at its core, it's a very interesting and pretty believable, actually, form of discrimination.
It would just subconsciously happen.
Yeah. I think it's a fantastic idea for a sci-fi, and
someone should make a movie about it.
I'm a huge fan of sci-fi stuff, but this one really, like, I had to take a moment and just appreciate the actual hook, you know?
It's, you know, I preface this whole thing by saying I was picking another sci-fi movie, but it's pretty much the opposite of how Sunshine does it, where this movie basically uses a high concept to tell a focused character piece as opposed to the world-saving space travel event.
Yeah, I think that's probably why I like this one a little bit more than Sunshine, just because it was so believable in a lot of ways.
And like even like smaller, I don't want to say mundane, but like smaller achievements feel bigger to us. Like him just crossing a street without contacts feels huge. And I mean, it is, especially given how busy that street was
and
how bad his vision was.
Didn't Uma Thurman just park on the other side of the street? I was just like, are you crazy? Are you insane right now?
But I don't know. I literally felt every single accomplishment that he achieved in that movie and liked it better for it.
Ratings.
Let's do it. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Oh, you beat me to it this time.
Ooh, almost jinxed.
Yeah.
I think I said with episode one of this cycle, which was Goodfellas,
right,
that it was my favorite movie you've brought to the table, James.
Uh-huh.
Ryan, the same goes for you.
It's a good cycle.
Okay, yeah.
We got some pressure.
Good start here.
I've already, for the first time maybe in our podcast's history, articulated every thought I've had about this movie during the actual discussion because I was that engaged by the movie. And I'm going to give it an A+.
Wow. Very
well done.
I'll go next. Very well put together movie. I can't even think of like a single writing flaw. I could see it for some people at times it might be boring. Like, let's say, you know, it's a slower movie. So maybe if it was on TV, I might not watch it every time. There's some movies that would always captivate my attention. But if I wasn't in the right mood, I might not sit down and stop everything I was doing. So I'm going to give it an A. Just, it's so close to being perfect, but I could see how that mood might hold it back a bit. Mm-hmm. Solid A.
While I had a few issues with it, I'm sure some of those issues might even kind of just go away after a second viewing or two. But I...
You can't have 2 second viewings.
You can't have 2 second viewings. I know. As soon as I said it. Thank you, Michael. I really enjoyed this movie. I loved the music. Loved pretty much all of the performances were spot on. And Chaloup. So I'm going to give this one a solid A as well.
Every movie needs some chalubrication.
Oh my.
I do agree that I greatly enjoy this movie. I think it's kind of incredible how it takes a high concept sci-fi premise and not only relates it in an easy to understand and digest way, but then tells, you know, a really incredible and suspenseful story on top of it. And I'm going to give it an A as well.
And our average is an A?
I think our average is an A, yeah. Pretty easy.
3/4 Ryan's of us were right.
Right on the average again, just as usual.
I had a losing streak for a while there, but...
Well, granted, as long as you gave it an A or an A+, you were going to end up correct.
Yeah, you were the deciding factor.
You could have tanked your own rating. Eh, give it a B.
Dang it, what was I thinking?
Ah, so off.
Sorry, I just like, I was so invested in the discussion this time that I just didn't want to derail it by giving points, but I'll give, Stephen and James 2 points as well, just so we're on even ground going into the challenge.
Challenge, the challenge, 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 challenge,
challenge. I choose you challenge.
No, you don't.
Your challenge this week. So I have one spot left on a manned mission to the moon of Io, Jupiter's moon of Io.
Oh, I thought you meant to Io's moon. Like the moon has a moon?
The what?
No, keep going.
Mini moons.
Wait, isn't the moon called
Sailor? Remember moon. Sailor? Remember Sailor Mini Moon?
I do remember Sailor Mini Moon. Wow, we are really.
Is All Earth, right. Is Earth's moon called
Luna?
Luna, yeah.
In Spanish.
That's right.
In Spanish.
And I can only take the most genetically perfect of you with me to Io. And you're going to have to convince me which of you is the superior genetically. So I want to start by everyone showing me their penises, please.
So you can tell your son.
Okay.
And he'll be our biggest fan.
It's a fine piece of equipment you got there, Michael. You got kind of a 2-prong thing going there, it seems like. Well, that's pretty impressive.
Why didn't my dad give me one of those?
I think I think Michael's gonna easily beat either of you guys unless you're gonna impress me with some grit. No,
like a tribe.
Well, James, listen, no, nothing there.
Listen here. I've been in this company for 10 years now. 10 years. 10 years of solid work. Michael, he's got a 2-prong dick, yes. But he's only been here for, what, like 3 years? 2?
That has nothing to do with genetics, though. I'm younger. I'm actually more equipped than you are. You've been here 10 years. You're over the hill, dog. I'm still using young and hip lingo.
We all need space accountants. and I am your man. I have been a space accountant. My father was a space accountant, and God damn it, my grandfather was he wasn't a space accountant. He was just a regular accountant because space travel wasn't like a regular thing then. But that's what I'm telling you right here. It's in my genes. Before we even got to that level of genetics, it was in my genes. It's a family trait, and I'm going to go down as one of the best space accountants ever.
Hey, James, you know what's in my genes? A two-pronged penis.
That's fair, what enough, I'm packing. Fair enough.
When does, I unzip my genes.
He does have two prongs, but I mean,
I feel like he's going to win pretty much like any argument.
Well, I mean, can his penises do space accounting? I don't think so.
Can I?
My brain can. My regular body.
No.
And also,
he's got the brains and the body, James.
You can't have a two-pronged penis and not have to give something up there. You know what I'm talking about?
That's just simply not true. I'm just genetically... super soldier.
Michael, how would you plan a flight plan for a space shuttle? How would you go about doing that?
Okay, so first you go out of Earth, you pass our moon, right?
Right.
And then,
is there any slingshotting happening there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, lots of
obviously.
you do two laps around the Earth to just get that like momentum, and then you let it launch you using the orbit to propel you. And then
just two laps, huh?
Yeah. When you've got a two-pronged penis, everything comes in pairs. and then
that can be flawed thinking right there. He might think there needs to be two of everything.
No, I've got a good head on my shoulders. I have two shoulders.
Oh.
Just like you know, I'm going to go ahead.
Hold on.
And, all right.
Question was asked. And then Mars, right? Skip Mars. Fuck Mars. You just go way past it.
Yeah, we're not going to Mars.
You go north.
Does Mars even have a moon?
No.
I don't
know. You go north.
Who cares?
You go north.
It's Mars.
Just go over the asteroid belt.
Go north? Did you say go north?
You go north.
There is no north in space.
You go up.
You go okay, there's up. No up in space. Right.
You go over the asteroid belt. Okay.
What is over? Which?
Because when you go through it, what? Are you just like a guy without your glasses trying to cross traffic? No, you go over. Or you park on the other side of the asteroid belt.
I don't know. It could be kind of exciting to go through the asteroid belt, don't you think?
But I think safety...
That was a test. I'm glad you.
I'm sure this is very unorthodox, but Steven's been kind of quiet here, and I'm starting to suspect. And this can go on the record. I don't care. I'm starting to suspect he's a borrowed ladder.
To dispect. All right, here's
Steven,
my case.
Steven, I need a mouth swab sample and.
Here, let me just spit on you.
Thank you.
Hold on, I have something to swab it with.
I need
no, the two prong penises.
Back. Please put it back.
I need a finger prick, please. Need a finger prick.
Boom.
He doesn't even know what a finger is. He's giving you fists. This guy is clearly just
he's punching.
I honestly don't know how he's a space accountant.
He's intellectually simple.
Yeah,
I think that has proven itself.
Steven, the machine says you are someone named Chrome Dome Jerome.
Jeez.
Chrome Dome Jerome Aromadome.
Wait, Chrome Dome Jerome Aromadome?
Named after my father, yes.
Chrome Dome.
Named after your father. What are you, not unique?
No, because I am valid.
See, that was almost a Freudian slip there.
Now, let me just say, Chrome Dome, indicative of baldness, that's not a very flattering physical trait.
Look at this head of hair.
It's poor genetics.
I'm more concerned that he's been lying about who he is this entire time. And I doubt he even has a two-pronged penis, to be honest.
Oh, is that ever? Does ever? Oh, yes. Yes. Just like McBurbin here.
That's not my name. That's a drink at McDonald's.
Yes. Future
Sir,
McDonald's.
How the hell did you get into this interview?
Hey, what's that? Bam!
Punched
him with
punch
my sleeve.
Punched him with a sleeve-covered fist again.
But he punched the air like he's a few inches in front
invalid.
Of his face. He's very simple. I can tell you that.
Invalid. We call them invalids here.
Hey.
Minus
keep
a
your
point.
Keep your lashes on your lids,
minus
pal.
Minus a point. Not really. All right.
So, anyway,
I don't know what to tell you.
So to further my trajectory, then you pass Saturn.
Oh yes, please, continue.
Then you're pretty much in Jupiter's orbit because it's so huge. You're in its gravitational pull.
Are they that close to where one's gravity affects the other? That
yes,
directly?
In fact... Showing off some smarts here. There's some theoretical models that show that the orbit of Jupiter might one day move the orbit of Mercury past Earth within a few thousand miles of Earth, therefore destroying it. Millions.
Mercury?
Well, both, really.
Hmm. Sweet. But I'd like to let you know
that... But he didn't know that, I would just like to point out.
No,
I did. I'm the one who implied Jupiter's gravity.
You're the one who said you didn't think that they would actually affect each other.
No, I didn't. That was him.
Ryan, are you equipped for this? Are you equipped
either.
For this space flight, Ryan?
I was just testing you guys, obviously. Yeah, just testing.
But yeah, and then you cruise on to Titan.
And then you just...
You're not going to Titan.
Oh, whoa. He went two planets too far. Not really two. But he went too far. You see what that two mentality does for you right there?
Yeah.
He went two planets.
He always
too
thinks
far.
In pears.
Sometimes apples. I like pears, though.
You know, I don't know if I want someone who doesn't even know where we're going to be...
He's signed up to be navigator.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just a space accountant. Got to make sure those...
Steven, what did you sign up for?
Oh, I'm the blood guy. I have type O, that type of blood where anyone can get it. So I'm like your insurance plan. I'm just going to sit there. Y'all do your thing.
You're
know
just
what?
Like a human blood bank.
Yeah.
You know what?
I have an idea.
Why don't we just take a bunch
like,
of his blood
like
and
an
just
organ
put
farm?
It in the ship?
Yeah, we could just put his blood in the ship. We don't need
him.
Yeah,
we don't need him there.
You just take him to be an organ farm.
Yeah, yeah. We could even take the organs, just put them on ice.
That's true.
Yeah.
As long as I get to go.
No.
Well, I mean, part of you gets to go.
Yeah.
Why not the whole part of it?
Because the brain is not up to task.
Really? Mr. Titan here?
Question. Does your brain have a two-pronged penis?
Does yours?
Part of me does.
Not your brain.
So that's why your eyes bulge every once in a while.
That is actually my literal bulge. It's the bulge for my head's, my brain's two
why
penises.
Are you turned on right now, then?
I have very sharp
Michael,
eyes.
I didn't tell you to leave it out for the entire interview, by the way. I don't know why you felt you had to show off.
I'll put these away.
Okay, thank you.
I mean, like, if I had a two-pronged penis, I probably wouldn't wear pants either. Just putting it out there.
Yeah.
But
well,
that
I don't
aside,
think you could.
That aside, you're going to need some space accountants up there. Got to make sure that those bills and bank accounts are all set.
I would argue that leaving the planet is the best way to avoid needing to deal with your finances.
That's not true. That's not true at all. We have stations that make purchases and shipments every goddamn couple of years.
Are there IRS stations floating through space?
Yes.
They're going to come and check.
Relays.
They're going to check
They're
your
relays.
Taxes.
Relays. Damn it. All right, Captain Evans.
Well,
Captain America.
After a thorough interview, I have come to the conclusion that James receives 2 extra points, Steven 3, and Michael 4. The two-pronged penis wins out in the end.
Damn it. Why didn't my dad give me one of those?
And
why didn't he?
So concludes this week's
he
challenge.
He didn't like me.
Nice.
Before he even knew you?
Yeah. I never wanted this kid. He's getting the smallest dick I can genetically engineer.
I'm going to make a kid that I hate. His wife probably wanted a kid, and he's like, I'm going to make you regret this.
It's horrible.
What are we watching next week, Michael?
I really don't know what I want to do to you guys. I have my next 6 picks typed out.
Okay.
Ryan, give me a number.
4.
Give me a number.
56.
7.
I'm closest without going over.
Our pick. The one that I was most hesitant to do to you guys.
Oh, yes.
No. We're going to be watching WrestleMania 30.
Wait, which one?
WrestleMania 30.
Not that it matters to me, but this was the most recent.
The
one.
Most recent one.
I actually right. watched part of it. It wasn't
save it for the you. Save,
save
it for
it
the
for podcast.
Okay, so James has seen part of it. Steven and I haven't seen any of it. Yeah.
Not that I'm versed in WrestleMania or anything.
I actually have heard about this one from not only Michael. I heard how good it was from other sources. So I'm actually kind of interested. Have to say
it'll be a nice breather,
even though I've never seen
wrestling at all
ever. Yeah,
well, so my I'll just give you a heads up, my points next week will be distributed based on your ability to gather story from the actual combat inside the matches themselves.
Sort of piece it all together, try to figure out what's happening.
Yeah, because I mean it's rigged, it's scripted, we all know that, but they tell some really good stories, especially
spoiler
this year.
Alert.
Yeah. That is scripted. I wouldn't pick it if it wasn't.
Right. So if you guys are wrestling fans, or even if you're not, if you just want to be enlightened, write us in fuarock@gmail.com or tweet us at
fuarock
podcast.
At
fuarock podcast.
Nice.
Just ignore me. Guys, just ignore me.
He's still recovering from seeing an impressive two-pronged penis for the first time in person.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Speechless.
So yeah, I guess that's gonna do it, Steven. I know we were doing some shooting earlier today.
Yeah, shooting guns. Bam, bam.
I fell into a pool for the sake of comedy.
Yes. No, really.
So what's coming up on that front, on the YouTube Hyperdrive Pictures front?
Skits for once. We haven't had skits in a while. And now that my hand's good enough, we are shooting them. We shot two today.
Now that you're not an invalid.
No, I'm not an invalid. We're shooting some skits. We caught a B-drill. James fell in a pool. What are we talking about? Check out the YouTube channel to find out.
So mysterious. I'm on the edge
of my seat. I was Ash Ketchum.
Did you catch them all?
I caught a couple.
I was just about to ask him that same question. All right. So yeah, look out. Subscribe to Hyperdrive Pictures. I don't know why I said look out.
Look out.
Whoa.
Here it comes.
Warning.
How about you, James? What's coming up on your YouTube?
I actually need to write an episode by tomorrow.
Looking around the room like, I need an idea. I'm going to review Banana.
I'm dropping the ball by episode three.
It's down to Hearthstone FTL Advanced Edition or Gex Enter the Gecko, which I'm really actually... I would be super psyched
to see that one, actually.
The Gex one?
I would... That one or Hearthstone, actually. I've been wanting to try
to see if I can make it till Naxxramas like launched and make it more of a review of that, or FTL. But yeah, so I'm thinking Hearthstone's going to be on the back burner until Naxxramas drops, and then I get to try that out a little bit.
Do Chrono Trigger?
I need to actually
do Call of Duty.
The emulator that I used. Have you ever used? Actually, I'm going to go on a tangent here. Never mind.
Thank you.
I caught myself that time.
Let's go around the table for one last roll call.
I'm James McDoodles.
I'm Steven. The Burbs. McBurban.
No.
Suburban. Serena. I will get this.
You got it pretty well last time, actually.
Yeah, the last time I aced it.
I'm Mike Burban.
And I'm Ryan Evans. Thank you once again for joining us for another episode of
From Under a Rock. Hey, rock. I didn't mess it up that time.
Let's close it out Beach Boy style. Rock.
Wouldn't it be nice if we could make them?
Did you say if we were naked?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be nice if we were naked?
I just want you all to see my two prongs.